I could hear Tony tearing up the trail from Squirrel Creek toward our campsite in the middle of a blueberry patch in a remote corner of Avery County, North Carolina. All the forest creatures could hear him, too. Tony was anything but subtle when he'd caught a fish, and he wanted every thrush, every gray squirrel, every white-tailed deer, every groundhog, and most of all me to know he'd hooked a penny-bright, native, feisty rainbow trout. I'd been fishing with Tony before, and the detail that burned in the front of my mind was that Tony always fell into the water. He dressed in about $6,500 worth of gear, including waders that stopped at his neck, but he simply could not stand up in all that glitter. His rod was imported from Indochina, before we knew it by a more sinister reference as Vietnam, and his reel was straight from a craftsman named Bill Carter at Cabela. Bill didn't make them for Cabela. He made them for Tony Petrella in his off hours. I guess he figured Cabela and Petrella rhymed, so that was a good enough excuse. I was never an avid fisherman because I was, 1, lazy, 2, impatient, and 3, I could generally find something more interesting to do with my time in the woods. On this day, it was eating ripe blueberries. We'd entered this campsite off Squirrel Creek Road, a dusty, narrow path just wide enough for my small pickup. The day before, ignoring multiple no trespassing signs, each more urgent than the last, each carrying an increasing number of exclamation points. The sign at the entrance to what we determined to be our setting in place was 4x4. That's feet. It was written in red. I hung my hat on it as I put up the tent. A bird landed on my hat and pooped. While I put up the tent, stopping occasionally to stuff blueberries into my face, Tony spent a goodly amount of time getting ready to fish. It took 20 minutes just to get into the waders, preparing for a stream that was probably 3 feet deep in the biggest holes. The water was swift and cold, but I could see kids sitting on rocks using corn as bait, catching trout after trout. Tony's mouth watered. His hands shook with the fishing version of buck fever. He carefully lined a group of hand-tied flies across his vest so he could get at them easily and cocked his fly rod, whipping it 3 times by his head. "This," he said gravely, "takes a lot of skill." "I can see that," I said, as the line tangled in his waders. I saw a large grouse in a nearby bush looking intently at Tony, tilting its head the way a curious dog would. "Strange being," he seemed to be saying as he nodded his head. The grouse went back to pecking the ground after a few minutes, his head still shaking. Tony trundled off toward the rushing creek, drool in the corners of his mouth. He looked like he was moving, bedecked with all manner of fishing gear, all aimed at catching a rainbow trout, the same fish the 10-year-old boys were pulling in by the dozen, with hand-cut poles, string, big hooks, and corn. Tony's hooks were barbless, making it harder to hold the fish. He said it was the fishing version of hunting deer with a bow and arrow. You got to be sporting about it. His line was 1-pound test. That meant he had to work any big fish and not just reel him in. It was a test of who would get tired first, in theory. So now Tony had caught a rainbow and he was screaming bloody murder, tearing up the path toward the campsite, disturbing my tranquility and taking limbs off bushes as he roared past them. His voice was big and booming, urgent and animated. The boy was going to burst a carotid artery, I thought, as I shifted from my back to my side and pulled down another handful of blueberries. "What you got?" I shouted as he rushed the campsite. "Got a rainbow," he yelped. "A beauty. Look at this." He held out his right hand, gripping tight to his fly rod with his left. "Geez," he said, "what a fight." I looked intently and didn't see anything. As he approached, a small flash emitted from his hand, and I could see that he was holding something. He stuck it straight out as he neared, and I could see it was a fish, of a sort. I would have categorized it more along the line of minnow. "You catch that all by yourself?" I asked, grinning. The thing was the size of an oblong oyster, but not as smelly. "You bet your butt," he said. "You wouldn't believe how this little booger battled." "Yeah, but you won out," I said. He didn't catch the sarcasm. "So what are you going to do with it?" "What am I going to do?" He was incredulous. "I'm going to fillet it, cook it in honey, and eat it. You want some? Where's the pan?" "You sure you don't want to mount it?" I said.